Love Language by Indeed Captain. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. Starfleet, in its infinite wisdom, had changed the design of the cutlery in the mess halls, and Kirk hated the new ones. They were balanced differently, they were less ergonomic, and as he bent down to regather the knife that had slipped down off his plate onto the floor for the third time in as many days, they refused to stay where they were placed. He returned to upright to see Uhura and Bones staring in states of shock at Spock seated next to him. Spock placidly spooned Plomeek soup into his mouth and gave no indication that he was aware of their attention. He finished his meal, slid his spoon into the bowl, and stood. "I will be in Laboratory 7 for the remainder of Alpha Shift," he said. "Goodbye." "Bye, Spock," Uhura said faintly, and she and Bones watched him leave with that same slightly dazed look. "All right," Kirk said. "That's enough. Why are you looking at him like that?" Bones and Uhura looked at each other before answering, which was never a good sign. Uhura must have won whatever argument they were silently having, because it was Bones who sighed and said, "Jim, have you ever noticed that Spock is slightly overprotective?" Kirk started. "Now, I wouldn't call it overprotective," he said, shifting in his seat. "He's loyal. He's a Vulcan. The ship and her crew are his responsibility as first officer." "Not with the crew, Captain," Uhura said. "It's really just with you." "I don't think so," he said. "Mr. Spock is the best first officer in the fleet. Everyone says so. Protective, sure. But we seem to get into trouble more than most. So that's probably for the best." Bones and Uhura exchanged another glance. "If you say so, Captain," Uhura said, and they finished the rest of their meal in relative peace. Kirk had nearly forgotten about the exchange until his pad pinged with a message from Bones as he was preparing to lay down for the night. "The real McCoy." "Just saying." "The real McCoy. Attachment. Security file 3214-25.gif. Kirk tapped on the GIF and it opened. It was a looping video that Bones must have pulled from the security feed, or bribed someone else to pull, more likely. It showed a black and white view of the officer's mess hall. Kirk saw the square table where he, Bones, Uhura, and Spock had shared lunch earlier in the day. He watched himself set down his knife, which promptly slid backwards off his plate and bounced to the ground. He saw himself bend over sideways to grab at it, ducking his head down beneath the level of the table. He saw Spock lean over and cover the corner of the table with his hand. He saw himself come back up, and as his head cleared the edge of the table, he saw Spock straighten back up and return his hand to its standard position in his lap. Kirk sat down on his bed, expanded the GIF to fill his whole screen, and watched it again. He leaned down to grab the knife, and Spock covered the sharp corner of the table with his hand until his head was safely away from it. He watched the GIF over and over again, memorizing the little protective gesture of Spock's that he hadn't even noticed at the time, but was now immortalized in the security footage. Spock hadn't even turned his head to look at Kirk before moving to cover the corner. How frequently had this happened? How many of these moments had Uhura and Bones seen that he hadn't? JTK. Huh. JTK. Okay. JTK. I still don't think it counts as overprotective. JTK. Does this happen a lot? The real McCoy. The good Lord gave you your own two eyeballs. The real McCoy. How about you use them? Computer lights to zero, he said. He lay in the darkness trying to sleep, unable to wipe the sight of Spock's hand sliding over the table's corner out of his mind. Kirk watched his first officer carefully over the next few weeks, and it was an enlightening experience. Nothing in Spock's behavior or demeanor had changed, but Uhura's comment of "it's really just with you" had latched in his brain and reframed how he saw the little quirks of Spock's protectiveness. They sparred in the gym, and even though Spock threw him, Spock's hand was behind his head before he hit the ground. They ate lunch in the mess hall, and Spock inserted himself in the seat between him and the security officer with the peanut butter sandwich. And without fail, When the new shitty knives slid off his plate and he had to retrieve them, Spock's hand was between his head and the table's edge every time. How had he never noticed this before? The Enterprise, when flying on her own, was not a particularly dangerous place. And yet, almost every time he encountered something that was slightly hazardous to himself, Spock was there. Each observation warmed him. His stoic, unfeeling, deeply Vulcan first officer was protective of him. He still wasn't sure if he would call it over-protective, though. Kirk did keep a small collection of gifts on his pad when he could get the security video discreetly. He liked the proof. Kirk thought there was a slight possibility that Spock was a little overprotective of him when he went missing for only a few hours. All right, was kidnapped like a damsel on an away mission, and Spock went, according to all reports, absolutely berserk. His first introduction to this idea was Spock ripping the door to his cell clean off its hinges. He threw it behind him where it hit the wall of the corridor with an almighty clanging and stepped inside. Kirk stared at him from where he sat on the cot in the corner. Spock stared at him, chest heaving, face flushed green. And as he registered Kirk's unharmed state and general air of relaxation, his breath slowed until he was very nearly back to his normal appearance. "Hello there, Mr. Spock," Kirk said, slightly bewildered. "Captain," Spock said, inclining his head. He straightened his uniform shirt and clasped his hands behind his back. "I'm gratified to see that you are well. I believe you are free to go." "Thank you, Mr. Spock," he said, rising from the cot. "You were able to negotiate with the rogue faction?" "Yes, Captain," Spock said, and turned to follow Kirk out of the cell. "I found that they were willing to acquiesce to my demands rather quickly." "That's good, very good," Kirk said distractedly as they walked down the hallway. He did not see any sign of his security team. There were unconscious guards lying solo or in piles at regular intervals along the hall and down the stairs. He recognized his kidnappers from their clothing among the guards, but they were also all unconscious. "What negotiation tactics did you use, Mr. Spock?" Kirk asked, as they ascended the stairs into the front hall and reunited with some red-shirted security officers. They stood around with their arms crossed, phasers holstered, and they gave no indication of having participated in any sort of strenuous activity. What had their role been in the fight with the guards? "Vulcan ones, Captain," Spock said. And if he noticed that the security officers stared at him with an interesting mix of respect and horror, he gave no outward indication. "Ah," Kirk said, "that's good." He had a feeling he could guess what Vulcan negotiating tactics were, but he reserved judgment until he had received mission reports from his other officers. Spock walked alongside him with his usual reserve, and as he was now free from the cell he had formerly been trapped within, Kirk found that he had no complaints of however Spock chose to negotiate on his behalf. On the ship, in his quarters, he read over the reports from his security team, which varied from professional to, unfortunately, creative, in mounting disbelief. First Officer Spock proved the efficacy of the Vulcan art of sous-mana in about 30 seconds. Science Officer Spock kicked down the door to the building and then neutralized the entire kidnapping party. "Mr. Spock in combat is, in my professional opinion, somewhat of a demon." "God help the man who gets between Spock and the captain." Kirk pressed his intercom button. "Mr. Spock, could you please come to my quarters for a moment?" "Yes, Captain." Spock's response came immediately, and the man himself appeared in Kirk's doorway about 20 seconds later. "How can I help you, Captain?" Kirk handed the pads with the security reports to Spock and sat back down in his desk chair. "Could you please review these and let me know your thoughts on their accuracy?" Spock raised one eyebrow at him but said, "Certainly, Captain." He stood in front of Kirk's desk and methodically skimmed over each report. He set them down one by one until his hands were empty, and then he clasped them behind his back. "I believe these reports to be mostly accurate, if unfortunately unobjective," Spock said. Kirk blinked. "So you did kick the door down?" "Yes, Captain." "And you refused to wait for the security detail?" "I did not need them, Captain." and you neutralized the entire threat before ripping my cell door off the hinges. I believe you witnessed the second part firsthand, Captain. I see, Kirk said, and covered his hand with his mouth to hide his smile. When he had regained control of his face and looked suitably serious, he said, "Mostly accurate. What in the reports is false?" Spock straightened the pile of pads on the desk in front of him, forcing them into perfect alignment. "I do not believe there is a God in this universe that could help the man that stood between us. Good night, Captain." He turned on his heel and left, leaving Kirk gaping at the space he had left behind. He looked back at the stack of pads on his desk to his closed door once more, replaying Spock's departing words to him in his head. "I'll be damned," Kirk said. He'd never been one for pickup lines, and he wasn't even sure if that was one necessarily, but that was one hell of a pickup line. He made copies of the security reports and added them to his little folder of proof, and if he smiled to himself while he washed his hair in the shower, then it was nobody's business but his own. The end.